Welcome, everybody, to the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour. Glad you guys could join us for another episode. We are your co-hosts, Chris.
And Jonathan.
We actually have our first guest to grace the Happy Hour. His name is Demetrius Harris, a producer at ESPN.
What's up?
Glad to have you on, brother.
Let's do it.
Yeah, thanks for joining us.
Let's do it.
Just to give you guys information, you can find us at www.blackisonline.com. You can also find the podcast on iTunes and Stitch Radio under the Black Is Podcast. You can email us at thebrotherslayman@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at brotherslayman. And you can call the Happy Hour at 323-455-4219.
Hit us up. Take all questions, comments, concerns. Anything you want to know, we'll gladly get you back.
They better step correct, though.
That's right.
All right. All right.
Well, today is the 2012 NBA draft. Didn't have all the trades that I expected to go down, but it's been pretty good so far. I mean, it seems like it's been straightforward. Of course, we knew Anthony Davis was going to go first, as he should.
No question.
And from there, it wasn't that bad, but it got interesting. I was actually surprised that, well, not surprised. I like Michael Kidd Gilchrist. I think he has a motor on him. I think he finds a way to win. And I heard things that MJ was liking him, so I'd like to pick. I know he's not the scorer that they might have needed, but he brings a winning attitude and do whatever it takes to get the job done. And I think that's what Charlotte needed right now.
Yeah.
Somebody has to put the ball in the basket, though, right?
Yeah, you're right about that. They traded for Ben Gordon. We'll see how that works out. He was kind of boo-boo in Detroit ever since he left Chicago. Should have took that money, brother.
He's nice, though.
Yeah.
Ben Gordon is nice.
In spurts. He's a little erratic for my taste.
Okay.
I like MKG. I think he'll do a good job. Let's hope Jordan made the right pick this time. We know his history as far as drafting goes.
No, I think it's a solid pick for him regardless. You know, Charlotte is going to, you know, take some work. You know, I'm sure there'll probably be a lottery pick next year, and who knows what's going to happen there. He might get somebody even better, but I think that's a nice building block. You said he has Ben Gordon. You got Kemba Walker last year. We got Biombo still there. We'll see what happens with that. But
yeah, good luck with that.
Right.
Bismack.
You know, then Bradley Beal.
You knew it was happening.
Yeah, you knew that was going to Washington.
I called that one. I mean, Washington needed a two guard. You saw the trade they made, trading Rashard Lewis's terrible contract to New Orleans to get Trevor Ariza and also Emeka Okafor. Solidify their front line. They needed a two guard. I mean, it was an easy call.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, it was an easy call. You figured as soon as Gilchrist went, it's like, well, they're taking Bradley Beal.
Pretty obvious, yeah.
Yeah, but they're building something nice. I like what Washington's doing, trying to get some high-character guys. You know, you got a good score to go next to John Wall. You got Trevor Ariza, who can be a nice defender. And, of course, you got Emeka Okafor and Nene there. So they got a nice front line. A lot of character guys who will just show.
The front line is injury prone, though. Nene's always hurt, and Okafor is always hurt.
Yeah. So, you know, they're making moves. I read John Wall thinks that they're a playoff team, and, you know, they're in the East, so you never know.
That means somebody has to come out of the playoffs for them to get in the playoffs.
Right.
So,
I don't know.
Are they better than the Knicks? Are they better than the Knicks?
You know what? Right now, I'd say, yeah.
They play harder than the Knicks. I would know that. I don't think they're better talent wise, but
I think with the pieces they added, yes, they are better than the Knicks. You look all around, yes, they are.
Knicks can put one of the best players in the world on the court, so you always have to take into consideration.
Look, I like Carmelo. Melo, but Melo, when it comes playoff time, he has a terrible record. Plus, like I said on one of these former podcasts that we had, he's a ball hawk. He is a ball hawk. You got Amari there who really – Amari should be much better than he is. I think Amari right now is starting to show his true colors that Steve Nash really did make him basically what he was and got him that contract.
Well, an all-world point guard is going to do that for you. It's going to make anybody look better, right?
Right. Yeah, you saw with Kenyon Martin, that nice fat contract he got leaving New Jersey with Jason Kidd.
Yeah, I can understand that. But, I mean, if you have talent and you're that good, having a great point guard is only going to enhance that. It's not going to take away from what you were doing at that time.
Okay.
We've had this discussion about, you know, the Knicks. When they got Amare, once you especially committing $100 million, no insurance to this guy. You should have went out and got a point. That was the next you had to get. Chris Paul was your next option. I know they wanted Carmelo, and Carmelo wanted to be there. But if you were going to invest in Amare, clearly he needs a point guard who's going to get him the ball. And we all know Carmelo ain't getting him the ball.
That would make sense.
Well, they got Jeremy Lin, so we'll see how that works out.
Stop it. Stop it. Yeah, well, Linsanity, come on now.
Right.
That's
well,
right.
Well, they got the bird rights to him now, so we'll see. But he's going to have a lot of pressure on him. I like his rise. I mean, it only happens in New York, and this is a situation.
It was pretty cool.
You're right. So I'm happy for the kid, but, you know, it's always different once, you know, somebody, you come out after the next season, now that everybody knows you.
Exactly.
They figure you out.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah, we seen it in L.A. with Blake Griffin. The first year he came out, everybody was like, wow, this dude is a beast. I'm like, all right, next year what you going to do?
He needs to learn he needs two post moves. If he can get two post moves, he'll be fine.
Yeah.
Because he's like a modern Sean Kemp.
Yeah.
You know, so it's interesting watching him. But he's got to have a post move.
Oh, yeah. I think he'll go in. It's one of the things where he got exposed against San Antonio, and he's probably heard harp about it all season, all postseason, that he needs a post move. So I would think, and especially having Chris Paul there, and Chris Paul is definitely going to push him to get better. I think he has seemed like he has a work ethic. Like he should come back with at least one or two, a nice little
he better.
Hook. Yeah.
He better.
He's definitely going to have to work on his defense because, like I've always said, as high as he can jump, he doesn't block enough shots for me and for my taste.
Right.
I agree. Karl Malone didn't block a lot of shots either, though.
No,
I wouldn't call Karl Malone one of the best defending point power forwards, though.
Blake Griffin's never going to be one of the best defending power forwards. You know what you're getting from him. You're going to get the 20 and 10, the spectacular dunks. And, you know, you got it. They made it. The Clippers went to the playoffs.
Yeah.
That's now, amazing.
Chris Paul did have a lot to do with that.
Let's just a little bit. Just a little bit. Yeah.
And Chauncey Billings. We can't forget about Chauncey.
Hopefully he's back.
No, they made a nice step. So they got people excited. And, you know, this is the year because we know they got to resign. They have to resign both of them.
And now, if they get Lamar Odom.
Man, if they get Lamar Odom, Crybaby Odom coming back.
Crybaby Odom.
Okay, now tell me about this. Tell me this trade that is official, okay. Unofficial. Explain
it's
it.
Unofficial, official trade. Basically, Dallas is just getting rid of Lamar Odom.
Right.
Just tossing his contract over to the Clippers. The Clippers are then sending Mo Williams and his, if he accepts his $8.5 million player option, which I think he will.
I'm sure.
Because going into the open market as a free agent, he's not going to see that kind of money. So he'll go there. He started his career there. And then a trade exception goes back to Dallas for Lamar Odom.
Okay. No, that's not bad.
It's great.
Lamar Odom gets to come back to L.A. Stop pouting. He ain't got to be on the Lakers either. You got to go back to where you originally started. So
now, if Dallas ends up with Mo Williams, what?
The Jazz.
Oh, it's the Jazz.
Yeah, Jazz end up with Mo Williams.
Oh, okay.
So they have Mo Williams and Devin Harris.
Okay, well, they need a point guard who –
They need a point guard. Definitely.
Spread the flow with them big dudes. All right, let's see what else happened next. So, Cleveland, Deion Walter shot up. I didn't even hear his name about a couple weeks ago.
I heard through rumors and this and that that there was a possibility he might go to Cleveland at 4. I didn't believe it at the time, but obviously Cleveland proved me wrong, which him getting picked that high, I mean – I'm a Kings fan, so Sacramento taking Thomas Robinson, I think, was an awesome pickup for them. Putting him alongside DeMarcus Cousins. DeMarcus Cousins showed flashes this year that he can be a beast.
Head case. It's a head case, man. It's tough to deal with a guy like that.
It is tough to deal with a guy like that, but ever since Paul Westphal was fired and Keith Smart came in, it seems like Keith Smart's been able to kind of get him a little bit more under control and teach him a little bit more. So when Keith Smart did become coach, those are when DeMarcus Cousins' most dominant games came out. So I think only adding a hardworking guy like Thomas Robinson next to him is only going to motivate him more.
All right.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. I knew it was going to be the Robinson and Harrison Barnes, but with a talent like Thomas Robinson, he is NBA ready. It's hard not to pick him up, even if you trade him later or whatnot. I'm still with the pick the best player available, especially if it's a guy that good. You get him and then figure it out later.
Is he better than Jason Thompson right now, Thomas Robinson?
I would have to say yes. Jason Thompson's been a little bit inconsistent in his career. His rookie year, he came out, showed flashes that he could be great, and then kind of had the little sophomore slump. And he hasn't really done much his third year. He's a little injury prone. So I think the Kings are trying to look for some stability at the forward position, and I think Thomas Robinson can give that to them.
Not bad.
We'll see.
Right. Now, the thing that was funny to me is seeing Portland taking Damian Lillard with the sixth pick. What is up with them forever picking point guards?
Well, they had a little issue with the point guard position last year. Raymond Felton probably had his worst season ever in the NBA last year starting point guard for them. They tried Jamal Crawford. He's not a point guard.
No.
He's very good, though.
He's a great offensive player. He's a great scorer, but as far as running your team, that's not his strength.
When did they draft Jared Bayless? Like a few years ago?
And traded him to Toronto.
Yeah, now the funny thing is, when Andre Miller was there, and it was Miller and Roy in the backcourt, and all that talk of Brandon Roy feeling like Miller wasn't a good point guard to play next to him, and he wanted him gone. And the funny thing is, they end up trading him, and then Brandon Roy retires. And I think not having Andre Miller on that team hurt them bad.
I like Andre Miller. I think he's a very underrated point guard. He's veteran savvy. So he knows how to run a team very well. He knows how to run different offenses. And, I mean, you look at him throughout his career, he's been a great assist man. So you know he can run a team well.
Right, but I think Lillard's nice. I think he'll add something to Portland. Hopefully, it'll stabilize that position because they seem to have trouble holding on to point guards.
They need to do something right now. Right now. I don't know if Raymond Felton's going to be the answer. You know, you have a core with Aldridge. You can keep Batum. You need to make a move, a big-time move right now. You can't wait.
Basically tricking New Jersey into giving up their pick for Jared Wallace was a nice move.
Okay.
So, yeah, I thought that was all Portland on that move. But that was nice. So, they're trying.
But how good are the Blazers going to be? Like, how good do you expect them to really be?
Well, I personally hope that it's not going to – I don't see it happening. But if Magic can happen and the Spurs can get Batum, that'd be great for me. But they should be better than they were. I'm really shocked that they were that good and all of a sudden just fell the hell off. I mean, having Aldridge and Batum, Wesley Matthews was good, and all of a sudden he just lost. Yeah.
Well, you have to keep in mind, when Brandon Roy retired, he was the heart and soul of that team.
Right.
And losing him was a big loss, not only on the court, but off the court and in the locker room. So, he's talking about a comeback. I heard Minnesota, but I don't think he's not going to Minnesota.
He wants to go somewhere where he can win a ring.
Well, that'd be Miami.
Yeah, everybody's jumping on that train.
How could you not jump on it?
I'm not a fan of everybody just
you're not a fan of jumping
on that train. It's like, come on.
We're talking about Miami Beach.
I can understand that. I understand there's no tax and all that, yada, yada, yada. But look.
Beautiful women all day, every day.
I love it. Well, I mean, look.
You play with the best player in the world.
There's beautiful women everywhere.
Well, not beautiful women everywhere. Miami Beach, baby. Miami Beach.
Well, I mean, I don't like players who kind of jump ship and ride the pine. If you're actually contributing to winning the championship.
You contribute in practice every day.
A la Eddie Curry.
You do. Well, I don't know about Eddie Curry. But you contribute in practice. You're part of the team.
We hear that.
I hear that cliche term all the time. It took all 15 players. It didn't take all 15. It took those 7-8 players that you had in rotation.
Well, there's a lot of things you don't know, though. You never know the conversations that Juwan Howard may have had with LeBron that may have helped LeBron.
I agree. I mean, a veteran presence is always important, of course. But, I mean, at the same time, just being a veteran presence, there's got to be more into it than that.
Sometimes it's all you need is that veteran presence, stabilizing force.
When it boils down to it, though, winning the championship is based off what is going on that court at that time.
See, there's stuff that goes on in the locker room
that
affects the outcome of what goes on the court.
To an extent, yes.
But to an extent, absolutely. Absolutely. What's going on in that locker room is crucial. It's crucial. If you have issues with players, there's all sorts of things going around. Players sleeping with other players' girlfriends and stuff like that going on.
I understand.
And we know that these things have happened.
Yes, they have.
We got recent history about that stuff. And it affects your team.
True.
So, you know, we'll see what happens. Miami Beach, baby. Miami Beach.
I just don't want to see everybody jump shit to Miami Beach. I like guys to create their own legacy, which is why I like guys to, you know, stay with the team that drafted them. I understand if the team is not loyal to you. And
the team is not loyal to you. Team is never going to be loyal like that.
Not anymore.
It's about money.
Back in the day, teams were loyal.
We're not talking about back in the day. It's 2012. Teams are not loyal. They don't care nothing about you or your family.
Not anymore. Yeah, not anymore.
How much money can you make me? Right?
True.
There it is.
You're an investment.
There it is.
That is true.
So, you guys, you know, we'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens. And moving on in the draft, we saw Golden State got a steal, in my opinion. Getting Harrison Barnes from North Carolina. I really was not expecting him to drop that far, but I think he'll be a very solid NBA player. Not necessarily a big-time scorer, but I think he has a great mid-range game. He needs to work on his outside game a little bit, but I think he can be a great fit for them.
Strong player. He's got good size, and he can stroke it.
Yes, he can.
I mean, sometimes you need that. There's a lot of guys in the league that simply can't stroke it. If they were playing us, they could stroke it.
Right.
But in the league, it's a different ball game.
You're right about that.
You know, and he's coming from North Carolina, basketball powerhouse. He knows what he's doing. So that's actually a pretty good move for the Warriors.
I think so, too. And I think the team now, their starting five is a very strong starting five. You got Steph Curry, a point guard.
If
he can stay healthy.
If. Yeah.
There's another if with Andrew Bogut at center.
If.
He can stay healthy.
You have your cornerstones. Your cornerstone player is injury prone.
Yeah, I mean, they took a gamble trading Monte. I knew the money was tight with him. But, I mean, trading for an injury prone center like Andrew Bogut, who has proven that he can be a very dominant defensive center, give you a little bit of offensive game. But like you said, injury prone is a problem. But they have been looking for, you know, a replacement for Darrell Wright, which I don't understand. I like Darrell Wright. I know he had an off season, but I think he's a good player. David Lee is a solid power forward. I think he's underrated as well. He's a very hard worker, boards really well, and he can score much to most people's surprise.
Yeah, I like – they have a good starting five. I mean, Harrison Barnes, Foster, and them, they were like, cha-ching, we'll take that. Their problem is you got your two key positions, point guard and center, are not healthy.
Always hurt.
I know it depends on what Steph Curry can do. This year, if he can stay healthy and, you know, show why he was worthy of that pick, if he can actually be a true point guard, since now he has Klay Thompson and Harrison Barnes on the wings, is he going to be more of a – can he be more of a facilitator and not just a scorer?
Well, that remains to be seen. I think a coach like Mark Jackson is a good coach for him, you know, getting the advice from a guy who actually played point guard in the league at a relatively high level. So I think that'll be very good for them. Brandon Rush, I like him off the bench. I see good things in their future, so I think they'll have a solid season coming up.
You gonna put your money on them?
I ain't putting no money.
Oh, now we talking. Now we talking, right?
But I'm a Kings fan, so, you know, like I said, I hope the Kings come out and pull. Let's go.
Yeah.
Jimmer Fredette.
Who is that? Who is Jimmer? Come on, man.
The basketball Tim Tebow.
Stop it.
You know, I mean, Golden State's moving. They're moving to Frisco, so this is nice for them. Pressure's on Mark Jackson. I mean, I know he had this little blackmailing incident that hopefully is worked out and it doesn't cost him his wife or anything.
Can't have these affairs, brother. You a married man. Got to stay faithful.
Good luck with that.
All right. This should be one of them lessons. If you didn't learn this in the rookie symposium, here's a perfect example.
You're going to learn today.
Exactly. Right. Now, number nine, since we'll go through the 10. Number eight, Terrence Ross out of Toronto. I know they talking about getting Steve Nash and then I want Calderon. You know, Terrence Ross is good. I don't know with him and
DeMar DeRozan?
Yeah.
I think DeMar DeRozan has a size. He can play the three. Okay. So I think that's what they're going to do. They're going to swing him to the three. The player they just drafted, Terrence Ross, will swing and start at the two guard. If they can bring Steve Nash to Toronto,
which
is a big stretch, I agree with you.
There's no reason for Steve Nash to go there.
I agree. Yeah. I don't think it'll happen. The only reason I could see him going to there is because that's where he's originally from. I mean, he's a freaking rock star in Canada. If he went there, they would sell out. I mean, For Toronto, yes, it would be great. For Steve Nash, I don't think so.
No, if he was probably like his last year and he was really down, I could see him doing that. But he still has some play in him.
Oh, yeah.
So I'd like to see him go somewhere where he has a closer chance to win. And they're getting their draft pick from last year over, Toronto is. So hopefully that'll help out some.
Can't really pronounce his name. I'm sorry.
You know, Steve Nash is the type of guy. Now, he's loyal.
Yes, he is.
He's the type of guy that'll stay.
Right.
But I could see him in Miami. I could see him in New York.
I could have seen him in New York with
D'Antoni.
Miami.
Why can't he be in New York now?
He needs a more up-tempo offense, and a coach like Mike Woodson.
And you have a rim protector.
Well, I'll say this. If they were going to buy into the system and let Steve Nash run the ball.
Why wouldn't you?
Well, not, let me see. Not everybody. If Carmelo Anthony would learn to play off the ball and not be the black hole, I think they could do some serious damage. Because they really need a traditional point guard to run and get everybody in position. That would help them out. Yeah, I mean, if you got all that money tied up to your front court.
I personally see Steve Nash going back to Dallas. That's just my gut feeling. I just have a feeling he's going to go back to Dallas. Wants to give it one last go with Dirk, one of his best friends in the league.
And not going
to
win a chip.
Yeah, for
he
him.
Wants to win a chip.
He does, but he's not making it, you know, the chip is the end-all, be-all.
He may not say that in public.
Well, everybody wants to win, but
everybody wants to win a chip.
Right, but do you feel like if I didn't win a chip, then almost like, well, my career wasn't fulfilling?
He's got two MVPs.
Exactly. He's going to the Hall of Fame.
You know, I don't think he would work in Miami just because.
Why not?
I want LeBron James to run the damn, to hold the rock and run the show.
There's too many hands touching the ball there. I don't see it working.
Having one of them play off the ball was challenging enough, as we saw last year. Having both of them off the ball, that's not going to work.
Steve Nash could play with anybody. Well, a great point guard could play with anybody.
Right. Yeah, I agree with.
I agree, but. At some point, a great point guard is supposed to make the players around him better. Correct?
Correct.
Now, you have two superstars and an all-star player. Those players need to have the ball in their hands. But you also have Steve Nash, who needs to have the ball.
I'm not saying that he's going to go there. I'm saying I could see. There was discussion.
No, there was.
There was.
About Steve Nash potentially going there. Now it's Ray Allen.
And I've heard Jason Terry as well.
Or Jason Terry. And Ray Allen would be so lovely. That would be so lovely for Miami. Stand in the corner and shoot.
It would. I'd hate to see him take it.
Stand over there and shoot. That's all you got to do. Mike Miller, thanks. Appreciate your 7 threes.
Right.
Appreciate you, bro. Ray Allen's going to do it now.
Nah, I wouldn't be too mad. Of course, I like to see him stay in Boston. But, I mean, you know, if he goes to Miami and he's at the point now where he's a bench player. I mean, he can't play 30 plus minutes consistently.
That's fine.
Right. But in Miami, Miami would love him.
You give us 25 minutes.
Right. You put the big three with him and Battier out there.
Stand over in the corner and shoot.
Because you're not leaving him.
No. You can't.
No, you can't leave
him. And if you do, guess what's going to happen?
Right.
There it is. I'll draft him on my fantasy team. How about that?
Now, Andre Drummond fell pretty far. I mean, he wasn't going to get past Detroit at 9, but do you think this guy's going to be – is he more going to be the dominant guy that people thought he could be, that could have been the number 2 pick, or is he just going to be – people are going to think going to be Dwight Howard or Kwame Brown. I don't think he's going to be either one of them.
I don't think he's going to have that dominant of career. I mean, first of all, he's offensively challenged. He has no offensive game. And his free throw percentage is horrendous. 29% is not good. So, I mean, he can be a solid defender, I think. I think he'll be a good complement to Greg Monroe. I like Greg Monroe. I think he's going to be a solid power forward.
Greg Monroe's very good.
Very good. Andre Drummond, I just see him being a solid defensive presence, a la
DeAndre Jordan.
Ben Wallace.
Right.
Hopefully he can be that for Detroit, like Ben Wallace was, and just be that guy who cleans the glass and blocks the shots and not really worry about so much about the offensive game.
Ben Wallace would be a stretch for Andre Drummond. You know, living in Connecticut, I've seen him. He's a massive human being.
Yeah, if
he were to walk in the studio, you'd be like, this dude, oh my goodness.
Right.
But Where's the game at, man?
Yeah.
What's wrong? But he's young.
Right.
He is only 18
5 years from now?
Yeah.
Might be a different story.
Right. That's why you're taking. If he gets a good coach, you know, works at it and works on his skills, and I could end up being a great steal for Detroit.
And they picked Brandon Knight last year, who proved that he looks like he's going to be a good one.
Right. So if they keep some things going, Detroit will be all right. I hope they get it together. I ain't seen the good franchises down so long, but damn, Detroit just.
They came, you know, and
hopefully
went.
they pick it right and make some sound deals and get that ship right.
Darko.
Yeah, well, they
but at the time, out. At the time, Darko was a great player. A great player at the time. Of course, in hindsight, you're like, what the hell were you doing?
Right.
Right. You know, Melo comes off winning the chip, you know.
Yeah.
Right. And you're like, damn, this dude is raw.
Right.
But Darko,
yeah,
he, at the time,
right,
he was dominating.
He was
Europe.
A phenomenal player.
Right. And he was Chris Bosh was raw at that point. Because
yeah.
I figured, all right, if you're not gonna take Darko, you don't want Carmelo because you got Tayshaun Prince. I get that. Then, you know, of course, in hindsight, they probably would have said Chris Bosh. But that's neither here nor there. Now, the number 10, New Orleans comes back and take Austin Rivers.
Love the pick.
Yeah, I do. Do y'all think it's going to affect any decision or playing time with Eric Gordon if Eric Gordon decides to stay?
No. I think what they're looking at him as, I think they're looking at him as a future kind of combo point guard, shooting guard, kind of the role that Jared Jack plays now. I think initially he'll start coming off the bench.
Yeah.
I think Jared Jack will start at point guard.
Yeah,
Jared Jack's very good.
Very good player.
Jared Jack should start.
He was on my fantasy team. Loved it.
Yeah. Won me a chip.
Eric Gordon, I think, is going to resign. I think with the Anthony Davis pick, with the clearing of the cap room, you know, you finally have your new owner. It's not the league owns it anymore. You got Eric Gordon, who's potentially a superstar. You got Jared Jack, who's a very good player. You got Al-Farouq Aminu.
Superstar? Eric Gordon?
I think he can be a superstar. If he can stay healthy and those knees can...
What is our barometer for superstars?
A superstar would be...
Superstar is a household name, right?
Correct. It's got to be a player. You got to lead... I mean, to be a star, you got to...
Yeah, to be a superstar.
You said superstar.
Superstar.
You said it. I didn't.
Superstar. You got to win a ring.
So, oh,
yeah. Necessarily, superstar. You have to be on that level.
Superstar.
You got to be on the cusp. Of because getting a
I
ring
guess
at least.
Well, because the thing is, is Carmelo a star or a superstar?
Carmelo's
a superstar. Carmelo Anthony's a household name.
Yeah. He's a household name, but at what point do we say, okay.
It's a household name. One of the best players in the NBA. You cannot argue against that.
Playoff-wise, I can.
You talking about the play? We talking about playoffs? Come on. You going to argue that Carmelo is not a household name, that he's not a superstar?
I mean, he is a household name. I mean, yes, he's a superstar. I'll go ahead.
Eric Gordon is not a superstar.
I said potentially.
Okay.
He has the potential to be a superstar. If his knees can hold up, I think he has the potential to lead that franchise
to
maybe
what?
Not to the championship, but damn near close.
What franchise are we talking about right now?
The New Orleans Hornets.
Oh, what?
Close to a
championship?
I like what they're doing. We still have the offseason free agency still out there. We don't know the moves they're going to make yet. We don't know any other trades or, you know, what might happen. So the way they're moving right now, though, with the Anthony Davis pick, you got Al-Farouq Aminu, who can be your starting three. He showed flashes last year that he can be a solid starter. You got Eric Gordon. You got Jared Jack. You got Austin Rivers. So they have pieces. I like Monty Williams as a coach as well. I think he's done a great job with them. So they're an up-and-coming team. You got an owner. Unfortunately, he ain't paid Drew Brees yet. I don't know why. But he's shown that he will spend some money. They have plenty of cap space. So let's see what happens.
Everybody wants to do the OK City model. That's everybody wants to just start, you know, blow it up, start from scratch.
And build through the draft.
Yeah, hopefully you get.
They got lucky.
No, they did.
They got lucky.
Because that number two pick is always, it seems like it's just always the bad pick.
Yeah.
You know, because if it's like if they had drafted, if Portland had drafted Kevin Durant, would
they would have
like,
had Craig Oden.
Or would they have been like, oh, now we're going to trade it? Because same thing, Miami missed out. They got Michael Beasley. They didn't want him. You know, Charlotte was trying to trade
Beasley
the pick this
was
year.
Nice, though. He was so nice.
Beasley was nice, but there is no way Chicago Bulls were taking him over Derrick Rose. Not over the hometown kid.
No, couldn't do that. Couldn't do that.
And now we see why.
Of course.
Right. Now, are there any other moves or positions picked in the first round that you guys have any like questions or shocks, either good way or bad?
Well, I was shocked to see Jared Sullinger fall so far.
Why?
Based on everything he did in Ohio State, that man is a monster. Boston got themselves a steal. I'm telling you. Everybody can say what they want about his back issues, red flags. Forget that. This man can play ball. He's a beast. He proved it in Ohio State. The numbers he put up, I read an article, were just as much in comparison with Kevin Love. Basically identical. Yeah, I think if you go through...
You think he's going to be as good as Kevin Love?
I think he has that potential. Nobody thought Kevin Love was going to be as dominant as he was coming out of college. People thought he'd be a solid power forward. Nobody thought this kid was going to be put grabbing 20-something odd rebounds, hitting threes. He wasn't that athletic.
Right. You didn't think he was going to be, for my opinion, you didn't think he'd be the best power forward in the game right now.
So you're saying Kevin Love is arguably the best power forward in the game?
Yeah, right now.
I believe he is, too.
I'm not talking about, like, lineage and all that, because, you know, I'd say Tim Duncan the best power forward in the game. But, I mean, as of
right now
and moving forward, I think he's better than Blake Griffin.
And I think Jared Sullinger will do good. I think if you're able to dominate in college and do well in college, you can play in the NBA.
That doesn't always translate.
Not always.
So do you think right now Jared Sullinger is better than Big Baby Davis?
Yes, I do. Big Baby Davis, yes, he showed flashes when he was in Orlando and in the playoffs. But I'm not sold yet. He's always showed flashes. He showed flashes with Boston.
He's been nice.
He hasn't done it consistently over a whole season yet for me.
He's been underrated. He's pretty much underrated his whole time. Because when he got traded to Orlando, they were like, they got the better of the deal with Brandon Bass. And then Dwight Howard got
You think
hurt.
Sullinger is better than Brandon Bass?
Oh, yeah, I think Sullinger is better than Brandon Bass. Brandon Bass is a nice piece for Boston, but he's not up there.
Sullinger has the potential to be, you know.
To be what?
He can be a starting power forward. I'll say that. He can be a starting power forward.
I see him as maybe like a 14-10 kind of guy.
14-10?
14-10. I think he can put up those solid numbers and be good. Everybody talks about height. They said the same thing about Elton Brand coming out, and he put up 20-10 his rookie year. I mean, what are you going to do?
Now, I will say, I like the my steal would go to getting Oklahoma City getting Perry Jones.
I didn't think he dropped that far.
I didn't think so either.
It was a surprise.
Yeah.
You know, watching him play, sometimes it's like, you know, I'm waiting for the moment. And I'm like, he's not giving me the moment. He's just not giving me the moment at Baylor.
And that was everybody's argument with him coming out, that sometimes he played a little passive. For the skills that he has and the size that he was, he definitely should have been dominating.
Give me something.
I mean, it's prime example. You look at a guy, look at Jared Sullinger. Not physically, not as good, but he dominated. As he should, because he had skills. Perry Jones should have been arguably one of the best in college basketball, not just based off potential. He should have actually been at least a top five player based on his size and skill.
Yeah, they hope with coaching and, you know, sometimes college, the system, depending on where you go, you don't get time to fully develop. Or, you know, one year you're good, but you're not good enough. You could be better. But in this day and age, people just jump.
Yeah,
if you're good enough, they'll leave. And, there's that talk of you feel like you can get better in the NBA,
You can.
You're right.
Because, you know, you're talking about pro coaching.
Right.
You know, pro you know, assistant managers, pro everything, you know. You got guys that are working you out differently than in college. You're not going to class.
Right.
This is every day. You got people working on your body, getting you right. Okay. So you can improve in the pros. But some of these guys need to stay. That's a whole nother,
right.
I don't even want to get into how I feel about that. But some of those guys do need to stay.
You know, drafts seem pretty interesting overall. Got a couple little trades, but nothing major.
Nothing major. Dallas traded the center from North Carolina.
Oh, Tyler Zeller.
Yeah, over to Cleveland, which I think was a nice pickup for Cleveland. I heard rumors that they're looking at trading Anderson Varejao, I don't know why he's, to me, every team needs a hustle guy. You need that guy who's going to do the dirty work.
And let him go to Miami.
That here we go.
We're going to bring it back. We're going to bring it back.
Everybody going to Miami. But
start him.
I digress.
Him and Bosch. Yeah, breathe heavy if you want.
But I think trading him, Cleveland trading him would be a big mistake. Like I said, he's the guy who does all the dirty work. And, you know, you need a guy like that on your team in order to win.
Oh, yeah, and he plays center. I think the actual trade for the picks makes sense for Dallas. You know, they kind of move down and get three picks, trading that one. And they're slowly trying to, you know, to build, and they're trying to clear some cap space
and,
as well.
And how good is Tyler Zeller really going to be?
I've heard he can. I've heard a lot of scouts and analysts say they think he could be one of the sleeper picks in this draft.
Now, if he's a role player and he gives you this year for Cleveland, he gives them like 8-6 in 20 minutes, or at least comes in is effective. That's really all you want.
You need him to be effective,
right?
If he can come in, defensive presence,
yeah. Right? Where he's, you're not like, oh, I gotta take this dude out.
He's gonna have to bulk up though. Definitely, he's going to have to put on some weight.
But can he guard NBA players?
Well, that's the question.
That's the issue.
And that's always time. I mean, outside of the guys like, you know, Gilchrist, who you know is a defender coming out, most of these guys take time to defend. LeBron couldn't defend for shit for a long time. And then he worked at it, and finally got the switch, and now he's a first-team All-NBA defense. So
you're on the LeBron train?
No, I respect. He is what he is. He's a great.
He is what he is. The best player in the world.
Yeah. Right now, yeah, he's the best player in the world.
Yeah, right now he is. And the ring solidifies it because we did that last year with Dirk. And Dirk, you know, is Dirk the best power forward in the game? Well, he got the ring and the Finals MVP to prove it.
Yep.
So yeah, he is the best player. He is the best player in the game right now.
I sense, you know, some hesitation and reservation in your voice.
Well, I'm not the biggest. I'm not his biggest fan. I don't champion him.
Why?
You
got to give him his props.
Oh, I will. I'll give him his due all the time. Right. I won't say he sucks or anything, but he doesn't.
Okay.
But you ask me, would I go out and rock a LeBron James T-shirt or would I go buy his jersey?
Yeah, I'm not rocking a LeBron James jersey.
Now, as far as where he ranks of all time, I am not going to put him top 10 yet. I'm not putting him number one like a lot of people are. LeBron's going to have to work his way up the ladder because there are a lot of great players in front of him.
Oh, yeah. We're going to get to that. We are going to get to that in a second.
That sounds like an interesting topic.
Oh, it is. It's going to be. But, yeah, I want to congratulate all the guys who got drafted this year and, you know, the guys who didn't. You know, you still have a chance to make a squad. Good luck to y'all. Please learn the lessons of the people who came before you. Be smart with your money. Be smart with the people you surround yourself. That does include women also.
You can do a whole show on that.
Yes, we can. Oh, yeah, we're going to have another guy probably come in to do that. But we thank y'all for tuning in. We'll be right back. We're going to take a quick commercial break. Listen to the Brothers Lame of Sports Happy Hour. Bitch, I'm about to blow up. Came up, I warmed up, the next up, bitch, I'm about to blow up. Now don't it sound legendary? Liven up the resurrected dead and buried. This for niggas who ain't satisfied with secondary. This for my sisters who ain't satisfied with secretary. I'm blowing up and bitch, I'm still me. But what's the cost to live your dreams? Do you feel me? Everything glittering ain't what you think it will be. Funny how money, chains, and whips make me feel free. I'm starring in this bitch and yeah, I write the show. Fuck the haters, I'm headed to that place you like to go. They say what you fighting for, the game is on life support. And Gary Coleman just passed. Life is short. Bitch, I'm about to blow up. Look, I'm about to blow up. Yeah, got to the club early just to get a friend. Wait for hoes to show up. Man, but now it's bottles at them tables. Bring them models, boy, I'm about to blow up. Uh-huh, you know what? Bitch, I'm about to blow up. Left side, hey. Right side, uh-huh. Left side, hey. Bitch, I'm about to blow up.
about to blow up. Mama say I should reconsider law school. That means I wear a suit and bend the truth and feel awful. Hell nah, got a degree, but what that cost you? You make a good salary just to pay Sally Mae. That's real as ever. Ducking bill collectors like Jehovah's Witness when they showed up at your door at Christmas. Was broke as dishes, trying to let it go. Hit the club, she dropping low, lower than my credit score. Account overdraft, what I got is debit for. So much debt, it got me drinking, thinking, bitch, I better blow. I better blow. These hoes ain't checking for no nigga with no vehicle. You border like Mexico. Hey, baby girl, what it look like? Hey, where your head at? Hey, what you cook like? She say, where your bread at? Or what your whip like? You ain't got one or the other. Well, brother, good night. Bitch, I'm about to blow up. Look, I'm about to blow up. Yeah, got to the club early just to get a friend. Wait for hoes to show up.
Welcome back to the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour. Glad you guys could join us. We are here with our special guest, Demetrius Harris, producer of ESPN. And now we're going to jump on the subject. We've been talking about it, and Demetrius brought it to us. Where does, now that LeBron James has his ring and his three MVPs, and he's not on the list of three MVPs who've never won a title, where does he rank all time?
How many MVPs does he have?
Three.
Three.
And one finals MVP.
Three of them.
Three of them.
Hmm. Yeah, only. Mm-hmm. You heard him. Yeah. He said it right.
Said three of them. Yeah.
Okay.
Now, do any of y'all feel that LeBron is, at this time, does he fall into the top 10 of all time?
No.
Not at this point. Not in
right
his
now.
Career.
Yeah, I can't say that right now.
But we're talking about by the time he finishes. We talk about by the time he finishes his career. If he wins another title,
at least one more.
Absolutely.
Wow. Okay.
Absolutely.
Well, see, that remains to be seen. We don't know what's going to happen. So,
right now, he's a Hall of Famer. If his career ended today,
yeah, I would say he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
As far as top 10, no.
Yeah, I don't believe that. It's too many people. I don't know if he would bump off. I mean, it's hard to say.
That's the hard
part. Are we saying if his career ended today, or if his career continues along the path that it's on?
If LeBron James' career ended today.
Well, let's say that. If career ends on, if it goes on and he wins at least one more, would I even put him ahead of Kobe?
It's tough.
Two titles.
Right.
Three MVPs.
Right. And I know this whole thing with everything now, it seems like it's Jordan and to present. So Jordan set the standard, which is fair and unfair, because now, especially if you're not a big guy, if you're not a big and you're a wingman, you're always going to be compared to Jordan, and everything is going to be, well, Jordan had six rings. You know, because there's no guarantee if Kobe had seven, I'd be like, well, that means he's better than Jordan. Like, depends on how he gets his rings.
Jordan never played with a dominant big man.
Nope. Right. In the time where you felt like everybody needed a dominant big man to win. Now, I know Jonathan, this is funny to me. Jonathan, as much of a Bulls fan as he is, and was a big Jordan fan during the time, he doesn't have Jordan as the number one player of all time.
I do not, unfortunately. I can't. Me, personally, growing up, the best player ever to play the game is Oscar Robertson. And the reason being, you look at what the man did throughout his career. Nobody ever will come close to making the impact that he made on the team, averaging a triple-double in the season, averaging a triple-double for the first 5 years of his career. He won a championship. Yes, I know Kareem was there, but not his fault. The man carried his team, had his jersey retired by two teams. He had 12 consecutive All-Star appearances, has an MVP. He, in my opinion, almost set the standard when it came to your Michael Jordans and your Magic Johnsons. He wasn't as big as Magic, but when he was at that time 6'5", you know, 220 pounds, he was the LeBron James of that era. And I mean, you look at the numbers he put up are insane, and that's why he's the best in my opinion. No questions asked. Jordan, you're number two. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's, you know what, I ain't like, it took me a long time to put Jordan at number one. I was a Magic. Magic was my dude. I'm like, there is no way I'm putting this guy. And part of it's because I didn't like him. I didn't pull for him. You know, but eventually I had to succumb. I'm like, you know what? All right. This dude is the greatest player ever. But as far as where LeBron is, I mean, look, I'll name some people that I wouldn't, even if he wins a couple more, that I could not put him above.
A couple more. So yeah,
I'm saying if he wins like three.
Yeah, let's say LeBron.
I'm not saying that he's going to win.
Let's say LeBron does win three championships.
LeBron with three championships.
Yep.
So you have to assume he'll have at least one more finals MVP.
Yeah. He has three finals MVPs for all his title. I'll assume that.
All right.
But at least one, yeah.
All right.
You know, he has his all-star appearances. Maybe, I don't know about MVPs. Because, you know, at some point, they don't like giving them to the guy who's been the most dominant.
Exactly.
But for me, he's not better than Jordan. He's not better than Magic. He's not better than Bird.
Mm.
He's not better than Kareem.
Nope.
He's not better than Wilt.
Nope.
He's not better than Oscar to me yet. I need to see what he's going to do, but Oscar is high. He doesn't get enough love, and maybe that's because he played in the era where, you know, they didn't show him all the time. But Oscar was straight beast. He'll need to get some more to get past Shaquille, because they had that argument as of physically they were.
And I still say to this day, Shaquille O'Neal, most physically dominant player ever to play the game for his size. It's ridiculous.
Yes, for his size. In terms of dominant player, to me, it's Wilt, because he just got the stats to prove it. I mean, he's going to average 50.
The game was different.
Right. But we can say that like 30 years from now. I'm like, well, the game is different then.
I mean, the man did score 100 points in the game. I mean, he was
playing against me and you. Not to take anything away
right from
Wilt. Obviously, Wilt was a dominant player. But we may not see another Shaquille O'Neal in our lifetime.
I don't think so.
No, I don't. Where did all these big dudes go? Like, there used to be a
They want to handle the ball.
Right.
Yeah, they're all point guards.
They see Dirk and they
shooters.
See Durant.
Yeah.
It's like, wait a minute. You know, I can come out here and shoot threes. I don't have to go to the box and get beat up.
I don't see many 7'2", 280 guys, period, that much anymore. I mean, somebody of like...
You got Dwight.
Well, the last dude really was that has that old school friend is like Roy Hibbert.
Yeah.
Now, he doesn't have, you know, right now, well, at least now, but he doesn't have the, you know, the skill set of those other greats. This gene is just gone? And we
big guys are there. They just want to handle the ball. If you go to basketball camps and stuff, you'll see, you know, all the big guys, you know, doing point guard drills.
Right.
You know.
It's not, being a big man, seems like it's not the glamorous life.
Who wants to get beat up for 40 minutes a game, you know?
Right. But it's an art, and if you can do it well...
You can make a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. You can probably get you some rings too. There
you go.
Exactly.
There you go.
So, do you think there's anybody on that I just mentioned that you think he eventually might be ranked better, higher than?
If LeBron James wins three championships, three finals MVPs, it's hard not to put him in the top 10.
Yes, it would
it's
be hard.
It's hard not to put him in the top 10.
But there were so many great players to come before him. How do you determine who are you moving?
And that is an issue that, you know, we just had this debate, you know, in the ESPN newsroom, like, who comes off of that list? And, you know, we're talking about a spirited debate.
Oh, I believe it.
You know, I must admit, I had to walk off because I couldn't take it anymore because there was a guy who took Kareem off the list. And
wow.
I had to walk off.
Yeah.
You can argue that Kareem is the greatest basketball player ever.
Yes, you can.
Yes, you can. Definitely.
Because I talked to a lot of old heads, and they said, you know, Kareem was that dude. He's the only, you know, he's the only guy in NBA history with an unstoppable shot.
Yeah.
Right?
He's got, what, six MVPs?
If you look at his numbers, and we're not even talking about UCLA. We're talking about the pros.
Right.
You know, it's hard to argue against Kareem.
It is hard. I do. I do take offense to that sometimes when I hear people debating who's the greatest ever and his name doesn't get mentioned like
at all
right off the bat, or at least you're like, how are you not considering this guy?
Well, people are prisoners of the moment,
right?
Yeah.
Last year was like, oh my god, Dirk is, and it's like, yeah, this dude is a killer, but calm down. You know, I'm telling guys like, keep your panties on here. You know, right. Yeah, he's a phenomenal player, but you know, let's temper our expectations. You know,
right? And he'll be a Hall of Famer in his own right.
Of course, he'll be a Hall of Famer, but you know, getting back to LeBron, 3 chips, 3 finals MVPs. Come on now. You know what you're watching? Do you know what you're watching when you see LeBron on the court? Man guards 1 through 5.
You're watching history, I will say that.
You're watching it. Right. Ask Boston.
Ask Boston what you're watching. By far, bar none, the best player in the league.
Five is different nowadays. This is different saying he can guard 1 through 5 now, not like when Magic was playing the 5.
And Shaq and David Robinson.
You saw him guard 1 through 5.
Right.
You saw him.
Yeah, I see.
You saw him switch from Rondo to Garnett.
Yeah, but
Garnett. Oh, now I got Pierce.
Oh, but Garnett's right. now, not
he,
a five.
Yeah, and I don't consider like, yeah, he guarded.
He wasn't one of the best centers in the Eastern Conference this year?
Centers.
Playing out of position, yeah.
But he was a center nonetheless.
See, right. But the difference is.
Oh, I'm switching to Brandon Bass now. I got him.
See, but you ain't.
That's LeBron.
You ain't putting LeBron on Shaq had he played in that era. Putting LeBron on Hakeem.
Of course.
There are no real centers. LeBron's like, not guarding Dwight Howard.
Did they put LeBron on David West?
Yes, they did.
For how long?
Yes, they did.
And they didn't put him, but like you didn't put him against.
You didn't put him on Roy Hibbert?
Well, I mean, Roy Hibbert's 7 foot.
We're talking about centers.
Right. In the
era. We're talking about matchups.
Yeah, in the era of when everything is small, he can get away with playing the 5.
Yeah.
You know, just because he's that big. I mean.
He can get away with playing all 5 positions.
Yeah, he can.
Yeah, he can.
You don't want to play all 5 positions at the time, but he can.
You know. There's going to be an interesting debate with Bird, you know.
Yeah, I can't.
Now, because people say Bird's an iconic player. Defensively, LeBron James is a monster. Monster defensively.
But in defense of Larry Bird, he was an underrated defender. Larry Bird was a very good defender.
I give Larry Bird his props.
Right. And we hold athleticism really high, because as we see within the draft, it's like, well, this dude's not that athletic. I'm like, what, make it sound like he can't play?
Exactly.
You said LeBron's a better defender than him, yes. But in terms of offensively, dude can get a shot off.
Different types of players.
Right, when he wants, against whoever he wants. And since we seem to hold a certain mentality, a fiery mentality, higher than the way his personality is now, Bird has that, like, oh, you put this dude on me? Like how he had to say, you going to put this white boy on me?
Right. He felt disrespected by that. But so you're saying that LeBron's not in your top 10. If he wins, the criteria was 3 wins, 2 more championships, 2 more finals MVPs, correct?
Yep.
Now he is not in the top 10.
It depends. If LeBron goes out and wins 3 more, and wins 2 more championships, and plays like he did, then I would definitely.
Oh, we're changing the story now.
We're changing the story. If LeBron James, we did say he would win 3 finals MVPs. Okay,
yes.
So, I don't know, because I don't know who I'm getting rid of. I mean, to me, when you guys are talking about big men, Kareem, I mean,
we didn't even mention Bill
Russell.
That's
what I'm saying. I'm like, who? Name me another player who has more rings than fingers, and as a coach, he has 2. I mean. To me, he's the best. He was the best defensive big man of all time.
Yeah, like I can say this. If I'm putting, because I have the imagination, if I'm putting together my starting 5 or all star, I wouldn't of great. I couldn't put LeBron at the 3. I would really consider it.
You couldn't.
I can't.
If I take Jordan, Magic, and LeBron, I think I'm all right.
Yeah, I think Bird can spread the floor
defensively. Good luck.
I don't have
I'm
to.
Taking,
good luck.
I'm taking Kareem. I'm putting Bill Russell at the 4. I'm taking Larry Bird.
Yeah, I was thinking that same.
And I got a team that'll beat you. Hold on. I'm about to write my team down. Say your team.
I got Kareem at the 5. I got Bill Russell at the 4. I got Larry Bird at the 3. I'm going to put Kobe Bryant at the 2.
Ooh.
And I'm going to run with Magic at point guard.
Wow.
Now,
I'm assuming Jordan is your six man who ain't never come
stop
out the floor.
I love Jordan. I love.
Did you just say butt with Michael Jordan?
I love Kobe.
Oh,
Kobe to me just. He has that killer instinct. You got a guy in Magic who can get him the
you
ball. You got Larry Bird.
You're not putting him above him. Like,
I'm not putting him above him. Okay. But I'm talking about if we're starting a team, just a team in general, that would be my team.
Wow. So my Chicago fans must really hate your ass right now.
I think I'm going to take a backcourt of Magic and Jordan. I think I'll roll with that.
You being really – I have to admit it. You are being very – fair and really considering everything.
Because
for me, Magic Jordan is just, that's just, out of all the positions, they're locked. That backcourt is locked. I wouldn't change that. Nobody could cut into that starting backcourt.
Done. And if you take Bird.
Bird spreading the floor. And you're not coming in the paint because I got two dominant players who are going
to
knock.
You know, and I'm gonna oppose you for the sake of opposing you because I like to oppose people. I'm going to go ahead and stick Mr. James on Larry Bird. Okay. Good luck with that. He might get locked up. He for damn sure can't guard LeBron. So, good luck with that. So, who is Bird going to guard?
Now, the fun thing is, I think if he pulls Bird out, no. But I think if he tries to post up Bird, I think Bird is scrappy enough to at least handle him a little bit. But not
handle LeBron?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
You know, plus I came from watching growing up, I guess, in the 80s and watching Larry Bird, it was like, put LeBron on him and then he'll still make it in his face anyway. That's how I see Larry Bird. He's like, you ain't shoot, where you, I'm going to shoot out here. All right.
Larry Bird can shoot from anywhere.
So LeBron can guard everybody. And he's bigger, stronger, and faster.
He ain't guarding Magic.
He ain't guarding Bill Russell.
So at the four,
I would like to see him go at
the Jordan. Four. Who are you gonna put it? I might take Mr. Duncan.
You know what? And he
I
may, and
Bill
I may Russell
take Mr. Duncan.
Would, and he and Bill Russell, that would be an awesome matchup.
The five position is interesting. I mean, it's a toss up. I mean, I could take Shaq. I could take the Dream. If I take the Dream, defensively, my team is. You're not going to beat this team.
Well, like you said earlier, Kareem,
everybody makes their free throws.
Kareem has an unstoppable shot.
Kareem has an unstoppable shot, I have Michael Jordan,
and I have Kobe Bryant, who has proven that he is a fantastic defender in his own right.
He has, but this is Michael Jordan,
In my lifetime, Kobe Bryant is the one player, in my opinion, who has come the closest to doing what Jordan did.
Yes, because that's just because he basically grew up and was a shooting guard and was like, well, who should I
and
match
it's,
my
it's,
game
it's
after?
It's almost scary
because
it's like size-wise, they were almost the same. Same build and just
well, he studied.
Same type of fire.
He studied them. Right. You know? There would be no, you know, if there wasn't Dr. J, there would be no Jordan.
Right.
You know, so I get that.
But right. I mean, 82 points.
Yeah. Damn, we didn't bring up Dr. J. Dr. J, Dr. nice.
Dr. J?
He still got probably the best.
And now you say Dr. J. Dr. J's an iconic player. I love the doctor, but I'm going to have to take LeBron over doctor.
And then one person we also
you know
keep
what
forgetting
I can't lie if that speaking the criteria we have where he ends I would
Dr. J only has one chip.
I would
put him on. But he has two in the ABA. We're in the NBA before him.
We're talking about the NBA.
Hey. I'm talking about careers.
You're talking about careers. I mean, then you have to say, you know, Kareem is like.
Well, I mean, one player that you guys have left out, forget about the NBA logo. Can't forget about Jerry
you
West.
Can take him.
Hey, man, I will take
put
the
logo. LeBron on him.
I will take
put
logo.
Jordan on him.
And then I hire him as my GM so he can build my team.
Man, y'all are acting up on this show up in here, man. Disrespecting LeBron like this. Disrespecting Jordan?
Look, I love
imagine
Jordan.
If Jordan looked at LeBron and said, hey, let's lock these dudes up. What you think going to happen?
They might.
Y'all remember what happened when Jordan looked at Pippen and said, let's go ahead and lock these dudes up. Y'all saw the Dream Team special, right?
You know
yeah,
what?
But I don't put LeBron on neither one of them level defensively.
But he's a phenomenal defensive player.
He is
player.
A phenomenal
he's
defensive player.
He's a great defensive player. I'm not going to deny him that. But,
okay.
It's hard. You know what? This honestly is an argument that could go on forever.
Of course.
It's gonna
go on. I
just
like to see y'all get animated like this.
It's gonna go on throughout for years and years and years, because in all honesty, when LeBron James retires, and there's gonna be another next great player who comes out.
There's gonna be some issues if LeBron continues to win. There's gonna be some heated
debates. Now, I will say this. LeBron, you do like Kobe and you get you 5 championships, I will put you top 3. And I'm under the impression.
Wow. 5. LeBron gets 5 rings, he's top 3.
I can't put him over Jordan. I cannot put LeBron James over Michael Jordan. I can't. And Oscar Robertson. I'm sorry. The brother may have 1 ring, but I am
But
not.
You didn't even say Oscar was on your top 5, and you said he's a come on, man.
No, he's
out.
Not on my team.
He didn't put him on his team.
I didn't put him on my
team. You took Magic.
I didn't put him on my team, but he. Because Magic was Magic. Magic gives me that matchup. He's 6'9". Look at my squad. I have 6'9". I have 6'6". I got what? 6'8". And 2 7-footers, basically.
Yeah, you know what? I can't fight. If I'm building a team, like, I'm a big Tim Duncan fan. I'm a Spurs fan. I'm a big
Mr.
Duncan.
Duncan
fan.
Mr. Duncan.
And
Mr. Fundamental.
Mr. Duncan.
It would be hard if I'm going to build, if I'm actually putting an actual team, like I'm playing with some other guys, it'd be hard for me not to put Bill Russell and then at the 4, and then add either Wilt or Kareem at the 5, and basically nobody's coming in the paint ever. But in terms of.
If you took Wilt, we can guard Wilt. Wilt can't make no free throws.
No, that's
a lot. No free throws.
Nope. I mean, I put LeBron in on the line. He's gotten better. He got better in the playoffs, but I don't fully trust him.
Still his Achilles heel.
Well, that, and he's not a consistent jump shooter, and he may never be. Or he might be when he's like 33.
When he has to shoot.
Right, when he can't blow by people anymore.
I like to see y'all animated like this.
Nah, it's good, man.
It's good radio right here.
This is what it's about.
It's how we get.
LeBron haters.
I don't hate LeBron. I'm just not the biggest LeBron supporter.
Yeah,
I'm not the biggest Kobe fan, but I respect Kobe's game. I have to.
I respect Kobe's game.
Yeah, we all do. I mean, we all here, we'll give people respect. And, you know, there might be times where you might have to pull our teeth to get the person respect.
I see what's going on up in here.
LeBron is wearing the crown right now.
Yeah.
No, John said the last episode he's not ready to fully call him King James yet, and I understand that.
I ain't ready to crown him the king.
He's got the chip.
He has the chip, but he's not the king.
King has a ring.
He ain't the king yet, man. Give it another championship run, then I might think about giving it.
Because that means if he loses next year, can we stop calling him King James?
Well, first of all, he has to win another one anyway with that whole 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
How many people have promised championships, though?
Not in that way.
Not in that way. The way he went about doing all that, I spelled it out. Yeah, I didn't feel
you
that.
You can say, I'm in here to win multiple championships versus saying, I'm in here to win.
We win in
not one, not two, not three. I mean, what's he supposed to say? That's the same thing as we're trying to win multiple championships.
It is, but, I mean, you put the pressure on all you guys.
Got it done.
Yeah. And he finally won a run. And I give him that.
It took him getting ridiculed. And I like hearing his speech, and I played it a little bit in the for those of you here the previous podcast, I start off with it. His speech basically saying he tried to play to prove other people wrong, and that's why his game suffered in the finals. Instead of just, I'm gonna just do me and play me, and he's gonna get hate. I mean, that's what sells. I mean, people hated Kobe Bryant, people still hate Kobe Bryant.
I can't wait to see the Nike commercial. I can't wait to see what Nike is working on right now.
You know they're coming with something big. Because I couldn't believe his initial commercial with Bernie Mac in the church. He was like, wow, okay.
Yeah.
You're really selling this guy, all right. But he got serious. I like that. I wasn't a fan of all his, you know, taking pictures and dancing and all that stuff.
Young man. You know,
right.
Think about what you were doing when you were 24, 25. You wouldn't do the same things now.
No, but I mean, we do give a lot of passes to dudes who are like, well, they're 24, but you've been in the league 6-7 years.
Think about what you were doing when you were – think about how different your life would be if you were 18 years old. You've had everything spoon-fed to you. You got all the women you want. You can have anything you want. Think about your how different your mentality would be.
You know how hard
I had to work when I was 18?
Right.
You know? I didn't get shit. I'm in college like, damn, I'm trying to figure out which girl I can bum off some top ramen.
Man, I heard that.
Somebody girl, you know, got somebody call your daddy ask your daddy for some money so I can eat.
Right.
You know what I mean? These dudes don't have to worry about anything like that.
I don't know how they deal with it. And I liked his mentality change. I liked that he was straight, you know, focused. I guess because I am the quiet dude and I like Duncan's personality where people are like, well, he don't be smiling all the time. Like, he on the court. He all about business. Now, you know, off the court, I heard he's a jokester. Mm-hmm. But when it's on the court, it's all business. You ain't seeing me smile. So I was glad that after that incident last year where they should have been talking shit and it basically came back to bite him, that he's like, no, I like when he pulled Chalmers aside when they were up 25 and it was like 8 minutes left. He was like, nah, don't do that. Ain't no celebrating yet. I was like, all right, this dude. You know, and it took him, and it does.
Jordan
know.
Had to give it over to the hump.
Yeah,
Jordan. He took some ass kickings from the Pistons, mm-hmm. didn't he?
From the Pistons, from the Celtics.
See what happened when he got over the hump, right?
Right.
Go ahead and take these titles. Go ahead and take them. That's right. What happened, right?
Yeah.
Right. And we like seeing it. We like seeing guys mature and eventually get it. You know, we hate seeing the hotheads. And, you know, I may not be LeBron's biggest fan or the guy who's like, who's your favorite player? LeBron James. He's not. You know, but he is the best player in the league. He doesn't deserve all the hate that he got. You know, he can say he has a chosen one tatted on him, calling himself King James, you know, all that. So he's going to get some criticism. You know, and the fact that maybe if he was more of a thug, I guess, they may give him less hate.
That's the thing. He ain't hurt nobody.
No.
No, he's a good guy.
As we know,
right.
he's a great guy.
Relatively decent guy. Mm-hmm. You know, he should have done the whole decision thing a little differently. Mm-hmm. But outside of that,
right.
Come on.
He hasn't done anything wrong.
Come on. I mean, for him to be this polarizing,
right.
Come on, man.
I don't really hold anything against LeBron. I like LeBron. I like what he does. Like Chris said, I'm not the biggest fan right now. You know, Derrick Rose is my favorite player right now. I love Derrick Rose. That's my guy. But LeBron, I mean, I respect everything LeBron has done. You know, he put Cleveland on his back, tried to do what he could, took to the finals.
He got me and you to the finals.
He got swept, basically.
Yo, that team was terrible.
That team was terrible.
Come on, man.
For that reason, I can't blame LeBron for leaving. I mean, it was clear the organization wasn't doing what they could.
You ever been to Cleveland?
No, I have not.
It's a reason for that.
I've heard not too many good things.
No disrespect to y'all out there in Cleveland, but Noah was like, ain't nobody want a vacation in Cleveland.
Nope, and there's people from Cleveland and Ohio who will be like, there ain't nothing to do in Cleveland.
But think about Miami Beach, though. Yeah.
Yeah, Miami's nice.
It's nice.
I mean, it was nice. You know, they weren't the team to go to pre-Dwayne Wade. I'll admit that. And it's like, well, we're going to Miami. It's like, y'all going to Miami Beach now within the last 7-8 years.
Things exactly. change.
Right? Cause, yeah, because nobody was going to Dallas either.
Exactly.
When they were terrible.
Exactly.
You know, speaking of Cleveland, that's another reason why he left. I would think Dan Gilbert would have been a man. And when his tweet went out, he was like, congratulations on Oklahoma City and Miami for putting on a great show. I'm like, you're not really going, you didn't congratulate the Heat for winning. You can't just be like, yeah.
Tell you what type of guy you're dealing with, right?
Yeah,
right.
He's just a bitter guy.
There's probably some other stuff going on up in there too.
He was. I mean, they courted LeBron. They gave LeBron. They spoon fed him a little too much for my taste. I think you know they tried so hard to just build around him instead of just being like, this is the plan we're gonna use, and we're not gonna rush and do all this crap to appease you.
They should have got him a Pippen.
Yeah.
And they never got him a Pippen. They tried to buy a title. We're going to give you Wally Zerjak. What?
Yeah. Going to give you Larry Hughes.
We're going to give you Larry Hughes. I mean,
now, at the time, Chris and I agreed. We thought Michael Redd would be a perfect fit for him.
When he was a free agent that year.
When he was in his prime.
He didn't go.
No, he took the money.
That would have been the perfect fit.
$20 million is $20 million is nice.
And when Boozer left,
yeah,
you know what I mean? He's like, what are you doing?
When he reneged.
Come on, man.
Yeah, they just have some trouble there. But he's climbed his way up to the mountain. He got it. I hope people give him a little break. Let him enjoy his summer. You know, let some of that critique, rightfully so, go to Kevin Durant. You know, I know we all of us didn't like LeBron James because he was basically said, you're going to be the next Michael Jordan already. Not, you know, Kevin Durant comes out and he's like, wow, this guy really going to be good. And you just watch him develop. But there's no like, well, Kevin Durant is going to be, you know, George Gervin in like 2 years. You just like, all right, we'll see what he does and go from there. LeBron, it was like, as soon as he came in, all right, he's going to win a ring like now. You know, and I'll give him his props. He carried that weight and didn't fold under the pressure. He did the best he could. So I'm happy for the dude. I hope he enjoys himself. You know,
he's got to get better, though. He's still got to come back and get better.
Yeah.
He's got to improve like Jordan. Mm-hmm. Once Jordan tastes that blood, you know.
Right. And that's what you want to see from players who you're going to put in your top 10. You want to see that. Yeah. Now he's got his ring, so people can like, all right, he's close. You got over the hump. You got one. So now you can say you're a champion. And now people are saying, well, we'll see what's going to happen. Are you going to come back with that fire? Is one not enough? You coming back to bring it?
That's so crazy. People say, is one not enough? Ask Barkley what he would do for a ring.
Exactly.
Ask Ewing what he would do for a ring.
I think one is plenty. And some players don't even have any, and they're still, you know, the best.
Yeah, I think, you know, he does get a lot of that. And that isn't fair. You know, like, if he has a ring, he's proved he's a champion. Now, if you want to say... And there are guys who are like, I want to be as good as Jordan, and then just don't, you know. But some people shoot for, you know, businessmen come in there like, hey, I want to be as successful as Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. They may not be Donald Trump, but this is what you're shooting for. And if you don't get that far, I mean, all right, well, I only got 3-4 rings. You know, Kobe wanted to say, I want to be as good as Michael Jordan, and he probably will not be as good when it's all said and done. He may not be ranked as high as Michael Jordan, but he's close.
I feel you on that.
We're going to take a quick break, y'all. We'll be right back with the Brothers Lehman Sports Happy Hour.
I tell nickel and diamonds, try not to be dealers. If they deal, at least help, try not to be villains. And if they caught dealing, try not to be squillers. If they do, try not to be shocked to see killers. Yeah, I'm crazy eyes killer, triple optic, commando, gorilla, pure with no filler, rockers that real. I been still at will, eyes open wide awake, y'all keep your eyes peeled.
I never rat it, just rat it, tat, tat it, fully automatic. Your whole aura shattered. I got beats or rhymes, either or, it never mattered. Flow fast or slow, like I did on Eyes Have It. I don't waste days away glued to John Madden. So when the sun sets west, I ain't mad at it. I gravitate towards those cats who ain't dramatic. And seeing 2020 money stacks is a habit. Yeah. Hindsight is 2020. Let's toast to the past, but here's to the future. Time to split this money, money. Hindsight is 2020. A toast to the past, but here's to the future. 2020. Last couple years shipping off the wall. Many tears, lost my mom, I'm staying strong. Regroup myself, dust my shoulder off. We back once again, then poof, we gone. I seen shit go down like Alk almost die. Now I see why they say it's safer to fly. In the same breath, breathe life, accept death. Until then, 2020, one of the best yet. I've had experiences that were out of body. Cops still probably clock me coming out of parties. I've seen scandalous verdicts make Los Angeles uprise. Black tail bottoms and cannabis cup highs. Create to devastate, taught me how to bomb. From Radiotron to the German Autobahn. Trade money still, different with color and shade bills. 2020, wide awake, y'all keep your eyes peeled. It's going down. Not now, but right now. By now, you know the sound.
Welcome back to the Brothers Lehman Sports Happy Hour. Thanks for joining us. It is Chris and Jonathan in here as usual with our special guest, Demetrius Harris.
I'm in the house, for sure.
And the topic that one of our listeners brought up, Mr. CEO, shout out to Mr. CEO. He wanted our opinion on this NC2A playoff bracket. Since now that people have complained and bitch and complained that the BCS is not good enough, we now have a four-team playoff, which is it's good. I mean, we have a playoff, so I'm at least happy about that. But it looks it's still a little confusing because now the issue is who's going to be number 3 and 4.
It seems to me like they almost did this just to appease the fan base, just because the fans were complaining. that computer systems don't work and this and that. Well, now you have a panel of actual people who are going to pick to choose who actually goes to be represented in the championship game. After a year or so of actually seeing how it works, I guess then we'll get a feel for, you know, how it's actually supposed to go. But I have a feeling it's going to be the same as the original BCS system.
It seems kind of like suspect, right? Like, yeah. Why is it starting in 2014? Let's start it now.
Exactly.
If we're going to do it now. You know, who's going to be on the selection committee? You know, is it going to be like the Lou Holtz of the world, the Bobby Bowdens? Like, who's going to be on this committee?
Right.
And do they have certain allegiances, you know?
Of course.
So this, it's still all relative.
Oh, yeah. We know a lot of this is money grab. I mean, if it wasn't about the money, this would not be happening in the first place. You know, the big wigs at the top got to make sure they're getting paid, make sure their college is getting paid, making sure the players are not getting paid. You know, which is stupid, but is it going to make it easier for the smaller schools or the mid schools like TCU's and the Boise States for them to get in? You know, because clearly two SEC teams are going to get in. I mean, more than likely, if you got the way it happened last year, you'd have two SEC teams in, and more than likely there will be two SEC teams in. Are we picking one from each conference? You know, because that might be unfair also.
It just seems odd because what's the criteria for actually getting selected in that 14 playoff? I mean, yes, you could have guys from other conferences, but is it going to go by strength of schedule? Because let's say Boise State's moving to a new conference. If they go undefeated like they have been, you could say their conference sucks.
Right.
So they really don't deserve to play in that playoff. But, you know, with the SEC and how tough they are, people are going to want them in. So, in my opinion, it's all going to be a big mess.
You're still going to have problems until you do a real playoff system. Why not just do a real playoff system? Just do 8 teams. What is the problem?
I don't get it. I wish they'd have just
I personally would something. Say just do a playoff system with the winner of each conference. Allow them to have a playoff. And I guess you would set it up based on, you know, record and strength schedule to see who plays who. And do it that way. That way, each person from each conference gets an opportunity, and may the best man win.
Yeah, because my guess was if you win the ACC, if you win the Pac-12, SEC.
The Big East.
Right.
The WAC. I mean,
how many of them get
in? The Big Sun, the Belt. There's a bunch of conferences.
Say if Alabama goes undefeated, USC wins the Pac-12. Michigan goes pretty far, and they have a one loss. But if you have an undefeated and 3-1 loss teams, that may work. But what if you have another undefeated team who's like
you need multiple undefeated teams, and that's the only way that the system is going to change.
Right.
You need somebody from the SEC. You need USC. You know. You need an Ohio State.
Right.
You know, you need to see some, like, big powerhouse teams. You need shit to hit the fan.
Yeah,
basically. Really. Right. You need to have these rich white folks, which what it is.
Right.
You know, to say, wait a minute, my school is undefeated. Well, wait a minute. You know, USC is like, hold on. I got Matt Barkley.
Right.
You know, this is on us. And then you got Alabama, like, well, we Alabama.
Right.
So you need shit to hit the fan for there to be real changes. Just my opinion, you know.
Right. I agree.
Because the problem is, what happens if you get, like, a undefeated Hawaii, like when Hawaii went undefeated?
Or even Boise State.
Right, or even Boise State. But the teams above them are clearly better, and they may have one loss. You know, what do you do? Do you say, well, this team is undefeated, they should get in? Or do you play the game like, well, you didn't play anybody, so, you know.
That's what happens. You didn't play anybody.
And that's what – it seemed like they made the 4-team playoff to let them in. But all it's going to do is create controversy again.
And what's even more screwed up is, you know, people say, well, Boise State, you guys didn't play anybody. But ain't nobody going to Boise State to play them?
No.
Would you? I'm not going to play on that blue turf.
And the jacked up thing is, for most of the college teams out there, the ones who are in conferences, majority of the games, you don't set those games. You're set in who the majority of the teams you're playing. You only get to choose maybe 3 or 4 games at a conference that you want
to
play.
And nobody is going to. Nobody wants to go play Boise State.
And if your your conference just happens to be terrible, then it's going to end up backfiring against you. And it's going to be like, well, for those 3 games, you should have played SC, Texas, and Florida.
Right.
Well, I mean, really? I mean,
still make it like if you lose one, you're out.
Where do you draw the line?
Because I hate seeing like USC Texas playing in the second week of the season. I'm like, well, whoever loses is out.
Exactly. Yeah. And then what about teams like Notre Dame who aren't in the conference?
Right.
How strong and how does their schedule have to be? Do they have to play, you know, 5, 6, 7 top 10 teams in order to get in? It's, you know, right. Where do you draw the line?
Because the big schools don't want to play the mid-level schools, especially if they're good.
Exactly. They don't want to take them. That chance.
Nope, because if they lose, then you're gonna drop them
big time,
basically out.
Mm-hmm. They got to make a change. This is so ridiculous. You know, the thing is, there's so much money involved. You would think that reasonable, rational people could come up with a system in which we can have a playoff system. Right. It's simple. We do it in college basketball. Everybody loves the tournament, right? I understand the nature of the game is different. You can't have those guys playing all those games.
Right.
Because physically, it's really not fair to play. Yeah. But change the system. This is not that difficult. You need 8 teams. 4 teams is not good enough.
No,
you can't
no,
just
not.
Put a Band-Aid on it and think that you still have a sore and a bruise there.
Right.
It's still there. Just because you put a Band-Aid on it, got to go to 8 teams.
Right,
because
we've seen teams maybe 3 and 4 who are feeling like they should have a chance for the national championship. So you're like, okay, now we'll open it up to 4. What about teams 5 and 6? Like, well, we have the same record as them. How come we can't get in?
Exactly.
You know, and there's no, all right, well, you guys play each other, and then whoever gets in, whoever wins that gets to come in. It's just going to make it more confusing. You know, is there going to be a system, or is it going to be just votes? Is it going to be computer? Because I did at least like that with the BCS. You do want some stats and strength of schedule.
Yeah, you have to factor
all that into it, yeah.
It's whoever's on that committee. That's what's going to be interesting. Who's going to be on the committee? You know, it has to
be non-biased.
Yeah, you would hope so, but
you're gonna have unbiased people in college football?
Right.
Come on now.
That just sounds wrong.
It sounds wrong. Stupid. Fix it.
Yeah.
You know, I wish they spent this much time fixing on how they're gonna help the players out, because I mean the school makes
so much
$5, $6, $7 million a year.
All right, so that's interesting.
What's that?
That's interesting that you say that. Do you think the players should be paid?
I think they should get.
They already get stipends.
Of how much?
They already get stipends.
And they don't have it.
And you get an education. I'm playing devil's advocate
here. Right, right,
right. You know, I went to Berkeley. I know a lot of football players. And, you know, obviously I work with a lot of professional athletes. And there are a lot of perks that come.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
I would like there to be something, because they don't seem like they're trying to curb these boosters and these alumni from taking advantage of these kids, because if the shit goes down, you know, the booster may not be around, but he'll be around. You know, the kid, all right, we don't want you here. And then I keep hearing that the scholarships are all like 1 year. I don't heard they're not giving them full four-year rides anymore.
Unless I'm
mistaken.
Well, no, they're still like full rides. Mm-hmm. There's talk of 1 year scholarships. You know, that's tough.
Yeah, that's
you know, but that's essentially you know merit based. Like you got to keep playing,
right?
You know, you got to keep doing well. But I'm kind of torn on the topic because it's like, damn, I wish I had a free education,
right?
But playing football is a job. You know, all my boys will tell you like, yo, this shit is no joke. You know, I got to be here, like I got to take these classes, and I got practice, and I got to watch tape,
right?
And I got to do this.
It's the same with college basketball as well,
right? And it's their money makers. It is hard on one end to feel like, well, they're getting an education and you're getting a scholarship, but what they're getting it for, those other, even though if you're an athlete, those other sports are not drawing in the money.
Football is the cash cow. Yes. You know, football pays for the lacrosse team, you know, and all these other things. I see why a lot of people argue that athletes should be paid.
Right.
There should be something.
But how do you determine how much to give and how much to give to certain players?
Everybody ain't equal. Life ain't fair.
Right.
Yeah,
the quarterback going to get more money than on punt return team.
Right. Because you know they're going to argue that.
Yeah.
What are we arguing?
It's like, well, shoot, I'm the face of the team. So
done.
Right.
LeBron James make more money than Eddie Curry.
Well, I would hope so.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, you know, the face of the team, the quarterback gets, you know, different type of treatment than – the wide receivers or the tight end or
now,
whatever.
Is there a set limit as to how much you can give to him?
We'll figure it out.
Yeah, because you have to give him something at least to feel like they don't, because you can't work, from what I understand, with a scholarship. You're not allowed to work. And I don't know.
So how do you expect them to get compensation and live?
Yeah, because it's hard to feel like, well, just be a student, but
it's hard you're being also a college student.
You know, we also
just
see
let the
you
boosters
on
just keep giving
TV.
Them money, man. Exactly. I mean, what is the problem?
Exactly.
You know, I'm hungry. The boosters want to give me a little bit of dough. Cool.
Right, because the trick is if you start giving them money, then are all the schools going to have a set limit on the scholarships? Or
man, it
know,
happens anyway.
You know it
Let's
does.
Not sugarcoat it. Oh, we no. know what goes on.
Oh, no. They pick these, they pick
the
these kids.
You see?
Right.
You know?
We know they pick these kids from the inner city who have nothing. You know, they're making, you know.
No money.
No money.
You come from the hood. We come from the hood.
Right.
You know? We ain't really had nothing.
Right.
So now I'm at USC. Like, damn, you know, y'all making a whole lot of money on me off of my back, you know.
Right.
Throw me a bone every now and then. You know, you come from nothing. Your mama ain't got nothing. Your daddy ain't got nothing. Now, you know, all life is different now.
Right.
You know, throw me a bone here and there. It's all
right. Right.
What is the problem?
Right. They can't admit that if you go to a family whose parent is working minimum wage and they struggling, and then this booster says, come to this school, here's 20 grand. Like.
You so my mama ain't got to sit in the hood, and right. my mama can have food, and my exactly. little sister can have, man, give me that money, man. Let's go.
Right.
And that's where,
I what guess, is the problem?
I guess that's where the right. integrity portion
then you
lies
get to,
into.
Call
you get
me
to
unethical.
Bush. Right.
But I'm going to feed my family.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, you get your family an apartment and all that. It's
what is the problem?
Right. It's hard for these kids to say no, and I don't blame them for, it's
for
hard to say,
yeah,
you know
I
what,
I want,
I'm going to do the right thing. And not take the money.
I'm
going to
do the right thing and feed my family. The little $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 that you may give me over my 3 or 4 year career here don't equal nothing compared to that, the millions you made on me and selling my jersey.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm in the video game.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Come what? Please, man. Break me off a little something.
Yeah, I think they should at least be getting some kind of cut for their jersey sales.
Yeah, I am kind of with that they sell the memorabilia. I'm like, well, especially the ones who got their name on
like,
it.
It's like, dude, this is my number.
Right.
Cut me something.
It's going to be a beef, but.
That, you know, that college football thing is a major issue. We talk about it a lot. And it's sort of one of those things like, you know what's going on, but you just can't say nothing about it.
Yep.
Right.
But, you know, if I'm generating millions of dollars for the university, I should be able to get a little something in return.
I shouldn't be like, it's a Thursday night and I'm hungry.
Yeah.
And I don't have like no money in my pocket.
And I know it's like, I'm saying like to an extreme, but I am generating so much money for this school. I mean, we all know what happened with the Fab Five, you know.
That was a good documentary.
It was a great documentary, you know.
And you seen the man, when Nike just taking their
Come on
trademark.
Now. Come on now. You
and
see what's
like,
going on?
You're not giving us like,
nothing.
Right. And that industries do that. Say, man, music industry, movie, they just take the shit and
use
you're
it.
Like, hey, but I created this. You're like, well, so what?
Exactly.
Well, we patent it now, so.
Yeah, so
it's mine.
Right.
Now, yeah.
You know.
I hope something is done. It's going to be an ongoing battle because I think the schools do have to give. You know, but we know the folk who got money don't want to give up that money.
Would you?
Of course not.
There it is.
If I'm a person who has, well, I'm a guy who believes in, you know,
giving back.
Yeah, right. Sticking my hand out and pull somebody back.
I feel that I'm the same way.
Right. So, you know, if I'm making, you know, they keep making $5-6 million and I can just give up like $500,000.
We're in the minority.
Right. Yeah. You're like, okay, well, this ain't going to really hurt me and it's a big thing for them. But for me, this ain't. I'll just write this off and get the money back.
Tax write-off.
You know, like, we have these conversations about the college football stuff, and, you know, there's, like, a line drawn. Like, you guys are just, like, the athletes are so unethical. Like, why would they accept money? This doesn't make sense, blah, 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 blah. You have to understand each individual situation.
Exactly.
Right.
You know, when you got guys coming from Compton, coming from wherever they're coming from. Coming from nothing. Nothing. If you don't understand, if you come from something, you don't understand the plight of somebody who comes from nothing.
Exactly.
Right.
So, you know, I argue this all the time. You know, I'm kind of on the player's side. Like, be easy. Like, everybody doesn't have money like Matt Leinart. Matt Leinart had money. Matt Barkley's people got money.
Exactly. Right.
So they you know, they're in a different situation.
Right. You feel like these kids whose parents can probably pay for school, who probably can afford to send them to school, but they got a scholarship.
And our brothers and sisters, you know, we wouldn't even be in college.
Right.
Some of them, if it wasn't for the fact they could catch that ball or run with that ball or whatever.
Right.
So I'm kind of torn on it.
Right. And there are some who will, you know, they'll use those skills to actually get an education and use the education for purposes. And some will be like, this is just, you know, the in-between to get me to the NFL so I can make some real money.
And the NBA. Right. Because that one-and-done rule is a whole.
Right.
That's a whole another story.
Whole another right. ball game.
But, yeah, I hope this 14 playoff, it's going to be some drama. It will be. It's already starting drama already. And I hope when it starts, I hope it's right that it evens out. And then these are clearly the four best teams. But we know in a few years there's going to be about five or six who should get in and who's going to get left out. And then the drama's going to start all over again.
Crazy.
Right.
We know it's going to be dicey.
Yeah.
And somebody's going to be on that committee that shouldn't be on the committee, and somebody else going to have a problem. What happens if a former coach from the ACC is now voting against a team from another conference, and they're like hated rivals, and, you know, man, it's going to be drama.
That's where you got to draw the line, and unfortunately, it looks like it's probably going to have the same outcome as the last BCS. Nobody's going to like it.
Yeah, nobody's going to be happy. So. Nobody will.
But folks love college football.
Yes, yeah. They
ain't nobody gonna stop watching.
Yeah, definitely not.
No, they so just
there it is.
Yeah, they made it more interesting to watch.
Yeah.
We want to thank you guys for listening to another episode of the Brother Lehman Sports Happy Hour. We want to thank our guest Demetrius Harris.
Thank you guys for having me on. This is great.
No Thanks problem.
For coming on, brother.
You're welcome to come back. You can find our podcast at www.blackisonline.com. A lot of great information on there, a lot of good content. You can also find the Culture Connection with Brother Malcolm. And the Black Is Break with Casey Lehman. You can find our podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. Please leave us a rating and comments. Let us know how we're doing. Let us know if you want us to go further. We're going too far. We take all comments. You can reach us on email at thebrotherslehman@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at Brothers Lehman. Or you can call the Happy Hour at 323-455-4219. I want to thank you guys for joining us.
And from Chris and Jonathan, we're signing off from the Brothers Lehman Sports Happy Hour, where we're giving it to you strong and it goes down smooth.
See y'all later.
Holla. I need to